Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work, we'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover. Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay, I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Yeah, talking about Tecovas. Love Tecovas boots. Some of my favorites here. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it out to a store, visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com. A lot of people celebrate Martin Luther King Day. However, on Ross Patterson Revolution, we celebrate the whole fucking week. We really, really celebrate the whole week. Jables, how are you feeling today? Because you look a little, I don't want to say under the weather. I want to say over the weather. Are you over the weather? Is that what it is?
I've just been getting a lot of rest and drinking water. I have gotten nothing done. Yeah, just a lot of rest.
Oh God. What if that was your face? What was that? What if that was your resting face?
It's close.
Yeah.
Like my resting face is like bitchy. But
is it? Let's see it. Let's see your resting bitch.
Like if I'm just like at, I guess probably like the car wash the other day.
Yeah.
Of just like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's cold. That's a very cold face.
It's like this to the lip.
You don't do that.
No, I might. Do you know what I mean? I might. And you know why? It's because like, I just don't. People are really annoying me.
Why?
Just normal things.
At the car wash?
Just people.
Okay.
Ricky Gervais talked about it the other day.
Wait, what was your deal at the car wash in particular?
At the car wash, not so much, but I was thinking at the movie theater.
Yeah.
I go out a lot. Yeah. Apparently.
You went to see Paddington.
I went to see Paddington 2. It was so good.
Was it? Was it better than the first one?
So good. I don't know if it was better than the first one, but it was just as good.
Great. You were looking forward to that. That's great.
I was.
Took our boy, our young son.
Our young, the young prince.
Yeah. So what were the problem with the people with the movies?
So it's packed.
Sure.
Okay. Which was awesome. But Paddington 2 was packed.
Yeah.
Every seat was filled. This family comes in and they've come in late.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by late, I mean like the trailers are almost over. So it's dark.
Sure.
You should be in your seat.
Right.
Right. So they come in, it's a group of like four,
uh-huh.
a family. They all shuffle in. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Sit down. Then one of them turns to the dad and goes, okay, do you want to get popcorn, soda? What do you guys want? What?
Yeah, you're already there.
So you already like came in late,
yeah.
shuffled in the dark,
sure.
got into your seat.
Yeah.
And now you're going to shuffle out again. And get, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you mean to tell me that you didn't have that conversation in the fucking lobby?
And then
one of you waited.
And grab it.
Yeah.
And then come in.
One of you wait, bring your family in.
One of you come in.
That's the normal thing, yeah.
One of you come in, throw a jacket.
Sure, sure.
But it's just stuff like that and little things. It's mostly people being unaware of anyone else.
In their space.
In the world.
Yeah.
In their space.
Yeah.
That gets me the most.
Oh yeah.
When someone just like doesn't even realize that there's anyone else in the world.
Triggered. You got triggered at Paddington.
Paddington. And it made me realize like I get really annoyed by stuff like just people.
Sure. I completely understand it.
That's horrible.
Obviously I do. You know I do.
You do, definitely.
Ooh.
You the amount of times that you go, oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, this woman.
And I'm one of those people.
This dude, yeah.
I'll take my phone and shame people like on
sure.
my Instagram story because it'll only last for 24 hours. And I don't know these motherfuckers. So I'll just be like, oh, God, look at that person there. The fucking worst. The worst.
Yeah.
Shoes off.
Shoes off
anywhere, by the way. That's not just planes for me. That goes anywhere. If you're taking your fucking shoes off, shoes and socks off somewhere mm-hmm. out in public, I think you should be shot on spot.
That's a level of, yeah. Like
shot on
every,
spot for me.
Every place in the world is my living room.
Right.
Every place in the world is my, like, domain.
Yeah.
There's no one else here. Yeah. There's no one else around.
Shot on spot. I saw a picture of a surgery the other day that got me, and I knew it would get you even worse. A guy lost his thumb.
Oh, I saw that.
And they reattached a big toe
mm-hmm.
to where his thumb yeah. was. I almost vomited all over the computer screen when I saw it.
Disgusting. To the point of like, is that real? I don't know if it's real. Like stuff like that. I'm like,
it looks real to me.
Yeah.
I mean, the scars were pretty goddamn big. I just, boy, isn't that weird?
Stupid.
You got a toe thumb?
You have a toe thumb.
You have a toe for a thumb. Imagine what the wet willies are like for that.
Big toes.
Oh God.
Big toes are really important too to walk.
They are.
So
who's? But my question was it his own big toe? Was it somebody else's big toe?
Oh,
did you ever think about that? It could
no,
have been somebody who just
to.
Died, and they were like, "Oh shit, we can take this other guy's." So you not only do you have a big toe for a thumb, but you've got a dead guy's big toe for a thumb, and that's
right.
your. That's your movable appendage. That's what you're giving a big thumbs up with some dead guy's toe.
Ugh.
Oh boy. It appeared to be real. It's going to live with you for a while, isn't it? You can taste it.
I saw it scrolled right past. And now you are making me like relive
it
in a real way.
I'm a big fan of that.
But like, I'm not.
When
happy
I see disgusting
about.
Shit, I like to have people live in it for a little bit.
Right.
The same way I did.
Sure.
It's just like, hey man, Welcome to my world. Because if I had to see it, then you have to see it.
Sure.
And I get into some sick shit. You won't watch the other shit that I watch.
Like?
Decapitation videos, things like that.
It's interesting because I'm so into murder.
Yeah.
I don't actually like to see.
The murder happen.
The actual murder.
Yeah.
Like the suicide bomber who blew himself up. Like I watched that video a thousand times where it was just like, oh my God, that's so great.
Mm-hmm. I don't need to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get into all of that shit and it's shocking because there is no bigger murder fan on the planet than you.
I've said it's hard to explain. I think it would be weird if I loved all that stuff and murder. I think that would push me over the edge of like, do we need to talk? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Where it's like, I like the mystery of it. I like putting the puzzle pieces together of like finding who it was and all of that.
Right.
And the like psychology behind why they did it. But I don't ever want to see the actual thing.
Murder itself. Yeah.
And then stuff with kids, it's hard for me to even think of. So that kind of stuff, I don't really get kids down with either.
Yeah. I can't watch that. That's probably my only no-no. Like I can't watch shit with kids. Kids getting fucked up or something happening, even injured. Like I don't like to watch those vines or YouTube videos where they fall off a skateboard, where it's like, dude, the kid's like 6 or 7 years old. I can't fucking watch that shit. That's my only like.
Right.
The rest of it, like, yeah, show me somebody getting their fucking leg chainsawed off,
right,
on accident. Like, sure, I'll watch that in a second. The other weird thing about it is I didn't know how many people were fans of murder until we started doing this show. Because obviously you're a huge fan. You've got Murderer's Row behind you.
Does everyone know?
Yeah. Not a lot of people know. Tell them, because we get a couple of shout outs. Yeah. Tell them who's behind you in your office.
I have Dahmer.
Of course, Dahmer.
The most sympathetic of all the serial killers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. A real story, a real guy, a heck of a dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And then, I like to have a little bit of everything, but we got a little... Mick Jagger and Dolly Parton.
Well, I'm a huge fan of both of them, and that's a nice photo.
So we have Blood Brothers,
the Menendez brothers
movie. I have Jim Jones.
Jim Jones.
Not to be confused with Brian Jones. A lot of people do.
Right.
Jim Jones of Jonestown
Massacre. Yeah.
And then we have BTK.
BTK.
Dennis Rader.
And that's your favorite one, right?
This is my favorite one because look at him, you guys.
Yeah, we have an audio and a video show, by the way.
That's his church photo.
Is it really?
Yeah, so that's his, like, the photo that he took at church, or his family photo, something like that. But that's what's fascinating to me about this guy.
Yeah.
Is that he was...
And that's your number one, right?
I think that's my number one because, well, the more I read about him, the more I just think he's a big piece of... pussy garbage trash. But the fact that he was already
yeah,
listen, I don't love what he did,
yeah.
But he was definitely a little sissy pussy boy,
okay,
about it,
right?
You know,
right.
It wasn't like
that's still not your number one guy,
because I'm still fascinated by by that. He was the first one that I was like, oh my gosh, someone can do all these horrible things, live in the community that he's doing them,
uh-huh,
be a pillar of the community, be like, you know, Boy Scout leader, church, in the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally could not get caught. People came to his house multiple times.
Sure.
And he was so good and normal. They were like, okay. And then when he was caught, the way that he talked about it and the way that he just laid it out, I did this, and then I took them into this room, and then I tied them up, and then so that was my first introduction to, like, oh my God, like, murder, like, serial killer, psychopathic minds are, like, that switched off.
Sure.
To where they're talking about murder in a way that's, like, I went to the store, I got eggs, and then I got milk, went down to coffee shop, you know what I mean?
Killed someone.
So that... And that was like one of the first ones I saw. So it was that was my imprint.
Oh, wow. Welcome.
Fascinated by that.
I saw recent prison photos of the Menendez brothers.
Oh, yeah. One of them clean bald.
Clean bald.
Yep. The one I told you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one you told me. Here was the really fucked up thing. And like in a non-gay way, they're both still really good looking.
I know.
And you.
And one's married.
Yeah, well, as married as you can be.
Let's be real,
but
conjugal, family visits, all of it.
Do you get conjugals?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Maybe not.
I don't think you do. You don't get to bang in prison.
Oh no, you do. It's just I forget which level you aren't able to.
Okay.
But you do pretty high. If you're in death row, no. Which I don't know if they are. I don't think they are.
I think they are. I think
they're still up for death penalty. I don't think.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I mean, all these appeals and all this shit. I think what I read was the average wait time for death row is about 18 years. So you're kind of there till after the appeal. So I would say they're getting close. Maybe you can look that up when I do the sponsors.
I was
shocked at how good looking they maintain. Because in prison, to me, if you're going to die and you're on death row, I would say fuck it and just eat. I eat and fucking do nothing and not give a shit about life, because what do you care? What are you staying in shape for? What are you living for to be that good looking anymore? I would just eat fucking commissary shit every day. They only have access to like vending machines and things like that?
Well, I'm guessing they still have money, and so that's on their books.
Yeah,
and
right?
Then they can buy whatever they want. There's no vending machines, but there is like
Cheetos.
A store.
Yeah, you get Cheetos.
You can get whatever
ho-hos
you want.
And yeah.
But you have to have money on your books to do it.
They have money.
They have money. So I'm sure they have all kinds of stuff. Why stay in shape? Why stay good looking? I think it's like anything else. It is a community. It is your life. You know, so why do you want to look? Do you want your guy friends to be like, oh, he looks good? Or do you not care? Just in life.
In jail?
In life.
In life, yes.
In your life now.
In jail, no.
In jail, though, it turns into your life. Those are your friends. This is your life. This is people that you see. These are friendships, people that you're trying to scare, people that you...
Yeah,
know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it turns
you're
into
not
a whole...
scaring anyone being the best looking dude in the prison. Like, you would think it would be the opposite of like, all right,
well,
cool.
They're trying to get jacked. I don't know if they're trying to get good looking.
Well, homeboy was super thin and I was just like, good looking. I was like, Jesus, man. Like, that's, to me, that's the first guy you fuck in jail.
Okay, maybe he has a boyfriend.
So I
don't fucking know.
But I would think that would be the opposite of like, hey, I want to look like the guy that you don't want to fuck. That would be my first inclination when I go to prison of like, all right, oh God, Ross Patterson is super good looking. How do we ugly him up and make him look like the guy you don't want to fuck? Easy. I throw in a quick 80, quick 80 LBs. I never shave, you know, grow your hair out to a disgusting length where you look like a fucking homeless person. Then it's just like, all right, you're kind of warding off any would-be suitors.
I would still wear makeup.
Can you wear makeup in there?
Yes.
You can.
You can get it. It's really crappy stuff, but you can.
So you would still wear makeup in prison, even though no one in the outside world was going to see you?
It's still, okay. Well, everyone knows girls wear makeup for other girls. They don't necessarily, like, we want other girls to think that we look good and want to look like us. We know that you guys actually don't like caked on makeup. You don't like a bunch of makeup, right?
Yeah.
We're not doing it for you.
So you're doing it for other girls.
Girls dress up and wear makeup mainly. I can't really throw out the percentage, but
60,
it's a
40?
High percentage that we do it for other girls. Why do we dress up? We're going with a bunch of girls to like book club, bachelorette, something like that.
Yeah.
We dress up for each other. We want each one of us to be like, you look good. Oh, I love that dress. And like, the
That's
envy of it.
Weird,
it is weird, but in jail, you're all girls.
Yeah.
You make your friends, you make your little,
right.
You know, cliques, and you would still, they do, and I think I would too, still wear makeup.
Creepy. I would just give it up at that point and be like, eh.
Listen, I don't know what I would really do, but if we were on an island, let's say with just girls,
right.
And we had our makeup, like we would still get dressed up to hang out with each other on the island.
Fuck, that's weird.
It is weird. It's ingrained, I think. And not everybody's like this, obviously. There's some girls that don't either need makeup or want it or whatever. They don't do it. That's fine. But the people that do, they do it for other girls.
I would say the opposite for dudes. If a bunch of dudes were stuck on an island, like
oh my gosh,
friends,
you guys would forget beards, it. Forget it.
Yeah, beards, fucking... I mean, it would be... I would have like... Old school Ricky Williams braids, like really like just
Ricky Williams.
Yeah. Old running back for the New Orleans Saints and Miami Dolphins. I would have fucking dreads, just a bearded up. I looked like Tom Hanks and fucking, you know,
Castaway. Yeah.
That's what I would go full Hanks Castaway.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I'd wear the loincloth though.
Like Matthew
Dong
Fox.
Out. I'd go dong out.
on Lost still looked good, but there were girls around.
Yeah, and that was my biggest pet peeve with that too, where it was just like, hey bro, how are you still able to shave and consistently
like,
keep mm-hmm. a sweet ass 5 o'clock shadow? Like,
and the hair was still
trimmed
yeah. up.
Yeah, it was never
like with
like,
a buzzer.
Out of control. I know. Mm-hmm. Like, where the fuck did all that shit come from?
Interesting.
Yeah. He still stayed great looking, and it was like, yeah, the rest of them didn't.
Right.
You know?
They like were on a desert island.
Yeah. And then there's Matthew Fox, just, you know, sweeter than two bees fucking that guy.
Oh, he is cute.
Yeah. Good looking dude. And I was just like, Jesus, man, you're Lost. You're not fucking on stage right now, bro.
And again, I would say if it was all guys, but there was girls there.
There was girls
he
there.
He was trying to, yeah. wasn't he trying to?
And the girls looked slummed down. Like homegirl, Evangelista or whatever her name was. Mm-hmm. The lead opposite him, the girl. Mm-hmm. The chick that he was in love with, she didn't really appear to have any makeup on ever. She just had her hair tied back. And I think they casted her just like a naturally beautiful girl without makeup on purpose, where it was just like, hey, all right, cool. You're going to look like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Matthew Fox, they didn't do that. They didn't do that shit. Mm-mm. He had a full, you know, not even any gray hair on that guy. He was still coloring up on the island.
Yeah.
He was still coloring up on the island.
They didn't want him to, I bet, but he would just keep coming to set, and they're like, fucking A, dude.
I know.
He's just like, I won't do it.
Why waste the good looks of Matthew Fox?
It's true.
Still going since Party of Five. I don't know what he's doing now, but.
I don't think he's still going, but he was going for a long time.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
I think it's by choice.
But I think it's done.
I think it's by choice. I think he's one of those people that can just pop out and do another TV show tomorrow. Get on a procedural like Chicago hospital or fire, whatever the fuck it is. He's one of those guys. I think it's by choice. You know, you do what, 8 seasons of Lost. How many seasons of Party of Five?
6.
Yeah. I mean, you're on TV for 15 fucking years.
He's probably just like,
I need a break.
Yeah.
I need a break at this point.
Like, yeah.
We should take her on ease, mm-hmm. Especially because he was living in Hawaii for all of Lost. You live there.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a lot of people, half the people said this. Half the people were like, oh my God, the island's beautiful and I'm adapted to the culture and I'm one of the island, you know? Mm. Other people were just like, man, it's beautiful every day, but you're kind of stuck on an island and I don't really want to be here anymore. Like a lot of them were excited to go home because they were just like, I feel like I'm trapped on this island. And the time zone is weird. Because you're 5 hours behind the East Coast. Mm. So, you know, you're doing shit and you're getting phone calls. You're 3 hours behind L.A.
Oh, God.
2 or 3 hours behind L.A. It's, you know, you're doing shit. People are probably hitting you up at 4 a.m. And it's just like, oh, hey, I get that it's 9 East Coast, but the doctor's still sleeping.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
The big guy's still asleep.
The foxy fox.
The fox is still sleeping. Well, we got off on a tirade at the top, but we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit to be on the air. First and foremost, blackriflecoffee.com. Woo, having a little bit right now. Little taste, if you will. You're a big fan, aren't you?
Black Rifle?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Just Black.
Just Black is your...
I'm a Just Black gal.
That's your blend.
Mm-hmm.
You're the Just Black. I'm the caffeinated as fuck guy. Their caffeinated as fuck is my favorite. This is the Just Black here. They've also got, by the way, they've got the best mugs on the planet. They got tins, the ceramics. They got a person making ceramic mugs that are...
Oh, yeah, they're awesome.
Oh, God. I wish I had like 90 of them.
I do love this black one, too.
Yeah, this black one's...
It's classy as shit.
This matte black one.
I love it.
Man, they got a ton of dope shit there. Their apparel's fucking dope. I'm always wearing this hoodie. I cannot take this hoodie off. It's the most comfortable thing. I don't know if it's fleece or cashmere on the inside or whatever the fuck it is, but this is the most comfortable sweatshirt I've ever owned in my entire life. But they got the best coffee, and they get a subscription to the month club. We have it. Every day it shows up at our house, same day. And it's the greatest box of magic ever. It's about $4 cheaper than Costco. If you're getting K-cups, and they also have bags as well, obviously, and a ton of great blends. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off at blackriflecoffee.com. Promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Next up, we've got straightrazors.com. Yeah. I shaved up before we came on air today. These little guys, These little guys are the best in the biz.
How cool does that look on camera? Look.
No. God.
Oh my God. This is the box the straight razor. Shimmer.
Yeah. This is the box the straight razor comes in, which is incredible. And I was out of aftershave. I got to reorder some aftershave from them. I had to use.
You should be on a subscription with aftershave.
They don't have a subscription, or else I would. Dead serious.
Yeah, I know.
They don't have one. But I really would, because it's something you use so much that it's like, all right, cool. Every 2 months, I need some more. I was out and I had to use, there's a bottle missing from the set. I actually had to use the bottle on set this morning.
Listen.
I think I left it upstairs. But they've also got some shampoos, conditioners, number one ranked aftershave in the world, number one ranked cologne, smolder, mustache waxes, beard oils, you name it. They got everything for a man. Go to straightrazors.com. Get yourself a kit. It's like an old school tombstone kit. It's fucking dope as shit on your countertop. Use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off at straightrazors.com. Promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Last but not least, we've got strikeforceenergy.com.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, look at that. These little packs of energy or $9.95 a box. You get 10. It's like 99 cents a piece. Cheap as shit. Promo code REVOLUTION, 20% off. Gets you free shipping and all that. They got four original flavors. Orange, lemon, Make America Grape Again, and original. Big fan of all four, actually. I don't hate any of them, which is shocking. No. They got a 750 milliliter bottle. I'm going to sneaker on in here. Woo! That just boom, pop a couple squirts in and go boom, boom. And you're on your way. You can kick the can. You don't need the cans anymore. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. They have a subscription of the month club, which is awesome. And, it's 20% off with the promo code REVOLUTION. Whoo, we got a big show. I am still feeling the magic. I'm going to be real.
The magic.
Still feeling the magic of that Viking Saints game.
Oh,
holy shit. They're still showing reaction videos all over the country. The reaction videos are still coming in.
Rappaport's my fave.
Michael Rappaport was my fave. I ended up watching his Instagram story afterwards. He had a full meltdown.
So he was there or he was watching it somewhere?
He was watching the game.
Okay, and he decided, hey, fuck it. I'm going to leave.
He was in LA. He was at a sports restaurant. It looked like one of the restaurants I used to go to in Washington. I think I know what sports bar he was at.
Okay.
For whatever reason, he left the game, and there was, I want to say, with 17 seconds left, it appeared it was over. There was a pass that was not caught, and the clock went down to 10. Mm-hmm. There was 10 seconds left, which to me, they were on the 39-yard line. Which to me, they were only down by one, so they only needed a field goal. A 30 yard pass downfield would have been fine. The guy could have gotten out of bounds, would have been enough for a field goal. So I don't know why he left, because even a field goal win it, you didn't need the touchdown. They ended up getting a miracle touchdown, but you didn't need it. And he left and got into the car, and he was listening to NFL on Sirius XM, and had a full fucking meltdown. I can't imagine if I'd walked out of that. That's why I don't walk out of a Hail Mary or games like that. Like,
yeah,
because you just want to see, because it is possible that it can happen. So I was here working on a podcast, and before I went back up to check, there was 10 seconds left, and I was like, I'm gonna watch the last 10 seconds. Gonna watch the last 10.
Sure, why not? Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. 61 yard bomb touchdown. Guy took off his helmet, threw it in the air in the end zone. It was one of the craziest plays in NFL playoff history, because the guy missed a tackle. If he tackles him, inbounds, game's over. Thanks for playing. And that was to go to the NFC Championship. The kid's 21 years old, who missed the tackle and is going through absolute and end all be all hell. And I hope people ease up on him, because he's a rookie. This was his first year. He ended up starting 15 out of 17 games. He had like, I don't know, 5 or 6 interceptions this year. He had a great rookie year. He's going to be a great, great player for a long, long time if he can overcome this colossal mistake. And to his credit, he gave an interview afterwards in the locker room, and you could tell he'd been crying for a while.
Oh no.
His eyes were red, and it was just like,
I get sad.
I do too. Cause when it's one person's fault on a colossal mistake or error, then I feel bad. If it's not, then I don't. When the Falcons got beat last year, and it was Julian Edelman who caught that fucking miracle goddamn pass with his two fucking baby fingertips, and it was an inch off the ground or whatever. It was just like, I don't hate him for doing that, and there was no mistake made on that play.
Mm-hmm.
And that Falcons game, I pin on our offensive coordinator for not running the fucking ball. So that guy I fucking hate, Kyle Shanahan. I hate him forever. Mm-hmm. But it's not a 21-year-old player. This is a grown-ass man who's been coaching a lot of time. This kid just missed, you know? He just missed the tackle, and you'll never forget that ever. I think he can overcome it if the Saints end up winning a Super Bowl and he becomes... he goes on to be like a Pro Bowl player, which he has the talent level to do. But just knowing how much hell that guy's going to catch for the next 80 fucking years is, it sucks. Mm. It sucks, especially at 21. You know? You're not equipped to handle that type of chaos. And in today's social media world, I can't imagine what's going on his feed and stuff. And he's got a Twitter account and was just like, oh boy. I looked at it last night too, just to see. Like, I have this creepy fascination with whenever something massive happens in a bad way, I like to go to their social media accounts to see what the last thing they posted was. Whenever somebody dies, I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's a play or something awful like that happens, I want to see what their day was like leading up to that, because usually it's totally normal. Very rarely do you see somebody die or somebody, you know, something bad happens and they're like, man, I've had a shitty day today. Like this, what's going to make it worse? You know,
right.
Like, that's what you're expecting to see, where mm-hmm. you're like, oh man, the guy had a bad day anyways. Like maybe he knew something bad was going to happen. When people die, I always go and look at their last tweets of like, what was the last like honest moment they had or what were they thinking? You know? There was a couple people who've died though, who knew it, and they just posted something where it was like, oh shit, you knew wow. you were going to die.
That's creepy, by the way.
I know it is, I'm admitting that. So I went to that kid's feed, and right before the game, he had posted something of just like, game time, getting ready. This is going to be the fucking greatest day ever. And it was just like, oh no. I dropped down. I do that Morgan Freeman voice in my head. Oh no. No, this is not going to be the greatest day of your life. I felt terrible. Yeah.
There's a book by John Ronson called So You've Been Publicly Shamed. And it's really good, but it's about all the different, like, one of the examples is, you remember that girl that was going to Africa or something? She, before she got on the plane, she tweeted, going to Africa, blah, blah, blah. Hope I don't get AIDS. Something like, she got off the plane, it was just like insanity. Like her whole life had completely crumbled from her sending that tweet, getting on the plane. She had lost her job. She had lost.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
So stuff like that.
Yep.
And the fascination that we have with like all of us getting on our high horse or whatever it may be.
Sure.
Being better and publicly shaming people, and like the crazy, like the ruining their lives. Do you know what I mean?
For
things that they have said that's a little offensive, or mistakes that they've made, or like this or whatever, where who the fuck are we?
Yeah.
We couldn't do it. I couldn't catch the pass. So why am I like, not that I would, but for example, why would I be writing on his Twitter like bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
It's this thing that we have. It like makes us feel like, ugh. Worse, we're better, we're gonna, you know?
Yeah.
And it's crazy what it does to some people's lives. And he has all these, so each chapter is a different story of things that you would remember like that.
Sure.
Like, my God, like, and we ruined her life over, you know?
Well, I think there's people find a reasoning behind it, right? With that that woman in particular who you're talking about, she was actually in public relations.
Right, it was a bad idea.
I'm not saying it wasn't either.
Sure.
But here's what I find fascinating about that aspect of it when you start examining somebody's life where it's like, man, you were in PR. You should know. And I think that's part of it where it's like, wait, what? You're in PR.
I've told you, we don't love a hypocrite. So do anything. If you're that person, if you're Amy Schumer, if you put that, you'll land and you'll be fine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're in a position where that's the direct opposite of what you should be doing, right? But go ahead.
Yeah.
We hate that.
With the NFL players or any athletes who make a mistake like that, I think the rationing and the reasoning behind it is you look at these guys as from a fan perspective and you're like, they're living out everybody's dreams.
Yeah.
They're making millions upon millions of dollars.
Yeah.
This is their job.
Their one job is to catch the ball.
Correct. So I think that's the reasoning behind it. And you support them and buy their jerseys and buy tickets and take your family and all that stuff. And you root for these teams so hard and they get so much money. That is their one job. And then you feel entitled to go and make a comment or make a post about it. I did it 2 nights ago. I posted when my favorite player dropped the ball.
You posted about it?
I did. I posted on my Instagram story.
But
and
you're not like going after his family.
No,
or, like,
I didn't
cutting
say
below the belt. You're saying he didn't do his
I
job.
I did it on my own social media, sure. not his.
Yeah.
I didn't go after him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to clarify what this moment was
go ahead.
We're in the process of moving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, grueling day. Nobody likes to move. It fucking sucks, right?
Oh, my God. This was crazy.
All goddamn day long. Cable's still on. TV is hung in the house for photo purposes. And I'm watching. By the time I finished, we were down to the last drive for the Atlanta Falcons at the end of the game. Down by 5. Need a touchdown to win. Fantastic. I'm alone in the house. It's dark. Only a couple lights are still on, watching
TV. It's very echoey because it's empty.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. House is
very
empty.
Weird.
We left the couches for staging purposes. So there is a couch. So I was able to sit on the couch. I'm watching it. I'm thinking about the time we spent in this house. It's a nice, peaceful moment to myself. And it's 4th and 2 from the 2-yard line. All we need, last play of the game. Is just a nice touchdown. And I thought for sure, like, the football gods would be sending me out of my house, like, you know,
sure.
Judd Nelson and fucking Breakfast Club, fist in the air,
right,
out the front door.
Right.
And I remember this, like, warm, like, tingling sensation, like, over my body. And I was never more confident in anything in my life.
Boner?
And
a little bit of a boner?
Half.
Half.
Yeah, I had a half.
Semi, if you will.
I probably had, you know, 5.5 out of the 9 inches were there. Like I was half chub.
Sure.
And I could feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Ryan drops back to pass Julio Jones. He stumbles, but then he gets back up. He goes to put his hands up. The ball is there. And I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is the glory. I've earned it. It's been an all day move.
It's my night. It's my time.
It's my time. I'm going to walk out of this house for the last time as a fucking hero. It goes right through his fucking hands. Right through his fucking hands. One of the greatest receivers in the NFL and goes right through his fucking hands. Ball falls. We lose. Chaos ensues. And boy, was that devastating.
Matt Ryan not good?
I don't know. I don't know. The ball was there, so that like
so
this.
So it's him. I don't know. Yeah.
This particular play and pass, the ball was there. Julio Jones should have caught that ball. I can't put this on Matt Ryan. We have a shitty offensive coordinator now who sucks. Steve Sarkisian is his fucking name. That guy has never been good at anything but drinking, and even that he wasn't that good. He got fired from USC for being an alcoholic. He had to go to fucking rehab. Of course, he was in LA. He was a coach for the USC Trojans. Of course you're going to rehab in LA, you fucking pussy. But he's our offensive coordinator. Terrible. It was terrible play calling. But the one thing you can ask for is your team to have the ball with the chance to make the game-winning touchdown And it, we had that, and it went right through his hands. So I, you know, even then, as shitty as Sarkisian was, Matt Ryan put the ball where it should have been. Julio Jones fell down, got back up, and then the ball went right through his hands. And I left the house. I mean, a loser. I turned off the light and just, yeah. It was like the end of like a sitcom where, you know, sha-la-la-la. It was like the end of fucking Family Ties or something where you're just like, you look around, you know, and you're like, ah, man, this was a good house and I'm a loser. I'm a fucking loser. And it was all because of my favorite team lost and would bum me the fuck out.
I know. See, that's what's fascinating to me about this football thing that you all love.
Right.
Is that, you know, you're leaving your house. It looks great. You did a lot of work. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So successful enough to have this and then move on to a big, I mean, that is like awesome. And this little game can make you feel like a loser.
I'll tell you why.
I can't.
Total reasoning behind it. So, because I've dissected this a lot. Why people care so much about their teams. And why people are so diehard, aggressive, angry. There's fights. There is, you travel, you spend money. Murder. Oh, yeah, absolutely. People have been murdered at games.
Yeah. At games. Wives have been murdered. Friends.
Yeah. I mean, fuck that guy at the Dodgers game. Look, everybody gets murdered at the Dodgers game, but
there's a murder every time.
Yeah. It feels like it. They started putting police in every row of the parking lot. When I was there for that playoff game against the Cubs, there was a policeman on every row of that parking lot. I was like, oh shit. There's a lot of fucking murders here. But the reason why people get so invested and they care so much and they're so fanatical is you go through your week. In most jobs, you know, most occupations in life, typically you're trying to get through the week or something has been hard or difficult or whatever it is, but you have this one thing that gives you hope, that you root for, that, you know, it could be an underdog. You could be the favorite, like in the Patriots sense, like everybody hates Tom Brady so fucking much and they hate the Patriots because they always win. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that are rooting against them. So you kind of put these little milestones throughout the week to get you to the next game or the next thing so you can watch your favorite team do something that week.
Why do I not need that?
I think you do, but it's in a different realm. Like with the reality shows that you like to watch.
I don't watch them like that.
But
watch them when I'm like downtime, when I'm just like, I don't want to think about stuff. Well,
so, okay, for yours.
But I'm not like rooting for it. I don't need to watch them in succession. Yours, I don't need to see.
But yours are podcasts then. Like a new podcast comes out, you go bug fuck. Like you lose your shit and you gun through all of them. You listen to them all day.
Yeah.
Yes. Imagine if you didn't have those podcasts to get through your day.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm saying. So
I'd be alone in my own thoughts. No, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah. Okay, I get it. But I just like, it's just not.
So
it's just not the same. And it's hard to explain that.
But I think everybody needs some outlet.
Everyone needs something. Yes, yes, yes.
So a lot of people. Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people, that's what this is. And I think that extends into politics.
Right.
I think that it extends into life. Like, you know, you take.
Hobbies. Some people.
Yeah. People go nuts.
Some people go cycle.
Yeah.
Some people hike.
Exactly.
Just walking, and you
take,
by the way.
Yeah, you take things to the extreme or you want to identify with some group and what it is. And, you know, look, you take the president. Half the people hate him, hate Donald Trump, but they love it. They love to hate him.
Keeps them going. Keeps them going.
And they keep posting about it all day long. And then they're looking for others who feel that same hatred. And it's like rooting against a sports team. It's actually not really that much different.
So Joe Rogan doesn't like sports. He doesn't, except for MMA. So
really?
He doesn't like football, nothing. He's just like, what? I don't.
Yeah.
He doesn't even understand it. College ball, all of that. But he'll get into these weird things, like exactly like, well, obviously jiu-jitsu, MMA.
Sure.
And then like, he'll be the best at like bow and arrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or hunting, or like get into these weird things where he's like making his own leather knife or something.
Right,
but everyone has something. It's just, I don't think everyone's thing is football.
Yeah, no. It's not football. 100%. But
I think a lot of people are.
To equate this, like, you know,
it's just a thing.
It's just
that
a thing
you need.
A thing that you need, and you're passionate about it. And I think that's why people want to kill people and all that stuff, and why this kid is going to go through.
Yeah.
Absolute hell for. You
so
know.
Maybe that's Lyle and.
Oh yeah, maybe for you.
They need their thing. Yeah. They need something. Maybe they work out. It just keeps them going.
I don't know.
Can we? So they don't get conjugal visits. Their life without the possibility of parole. They're not on the death. They're not.
They're
on
not.
Death
a,
row.
W- no. Was there? But a, there's was no there a trial for the death penalty?
I think they had two appeals.
Gotcha.
No, as soon as they were when they were convicted, they got life without the possibility of parole. They didn't get the death penalty ever.
Okay.
They've had a couple appeals, but there's no possibility. I think they've exhausted all of them, and there's no possibility of them getting out on parole or anything ever. Lyle got married and has been divorced already and married someone else.
Okay, well, but you can't fuck them? So they're not?
No.
So what's the point? What's the point in getting married?
I mean, to have somebody, to have something to keep you going. For the girl, I don't get it.
Yeah, no.
You have many, many issues that you need to deal with.
Do you think they get married, these women, because they want some sort of life rights or something like that? I was reading the Maryland.
Did that, not, yeah.
Not Marilyn Manson. Charles Manson.
Charles Manson, yeah. Yeah,
same person. Kidding.
Marilyn Manson.
I was reading the Charles Manson thing, and with that, he was married, and this, you know, when he died, because he just recently died, the woman said, I own his likeness, and he signed it over to me in a will, so I'm going to use his likeness forever.
That'd
for
be,
t-shirts, posters, you know. Movies, all that stuff. So to me, when I read that in the will, I was like, oh, all right. So obviously this is what this chick was after, but that motherfucker lived till, what was he, 88 or something crazy?
Yeah.
It's a long time to be chatting with Manson just to maintain those life rights. Boy.
Yeah.
So I wonder if homegirl who married the Menendez is the same thing.
I mean, maybe. Oh, yeah, his wife. Well, Eric's wife, Tammy, wrote a book about their relationship in 2005.
There we go. There we go. And now they're married?
Eric has been married since 1999. Lyle has been married twice, and the last one was 2003.
Okay.
And they don't get conjugal visits. California, you can't have conjugal visits if you're serving life. So if you're not, if it's like 30 years,
right,
25
right,
years,
right.
Whatever, you can get conjugal visits, family visits. So, but if your life, and it seems like it should be the other way around, but.
Yeah.
But I think it has to be a bad thing if you get life.
Yeah. That you can't get to still bone.
It's bad.
Yeah.
They have to make it bad. If you got to still bone and like work out,
it probably wouldn't be that bad.
Chill with your buddies.
Yeah.
Play tennis.
Yeah. Play tennis. It's not that kind of jail they're at, is it?
I don't know.
I will say this. The guy looked unusually tan in his photo.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was just like, what the fuck? How are you
Well, they're in California.
Tan?
So if they go out in the yard, they're getting fucking sun. They're in California.
An hour a day? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. Ugh.
Those boys.
I don't get it. I'd go ugly as fuck.
Pieces of garbage trash.
I'd get weird tattoos. You know? I'd get like the Gettysburg Address just tattooed on my arm for no reason.
Right.
Like weird shit. Mm-hmm. Like weird historical figures. With like, because you know, in prison, it's like amateur tattoo artists where it's like, great,
just tapping a like needle on you.
Yeah. Let's get a, you know, a nice Harriet Tubman tat on my arm, you know, something that's real difficult to do where you're just like, oh man, and I want the detail to be correct.
It's just a black
blob. Don't fuck me on her face. Yeah. Because do you imagine how
with
hard
like
it would be to do a Harriet Tubman tattoo?
Pretty hard.
Yeah. Something like that.
Pretty
would
hard.
Be.
But I like how we brought it full circle and that everybody needs something.
They really do. They really
do
need
for
something.
The Menendez, it's these fucking ladies that they can't have sex with.
Strange.
That are married to them.
I mean, you probably don't get to jack off against the glass or anything.
There's ways. I know this from Ear Hustle, but there's ways in the...
Ear Hustle, for the audience, is the podcast of...
about
inmates in San Quentin.
Yeah, so it's inmates in San Quentin.
I'm still shocked they let him do a fucking podcast.
Crazy. It's crazy. I mean,
how is it? Is it good? Are they educated?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they have a host, like NPR's type host that comes there and does it with them. It's not just, they don't do everything by themselves, but it does need to be approved by a warden or a guard or whatever. So they're really not saying everything.
Right.
Because if the guard has to approve it, they don't get to really tell us like exactly how it is. But they did say that out, you know, when they're having visits, there are closets that you can go in.
You're kidding me. And nobody notices like, hey, you're going to the closet, or do you pay off a guard?
I'm not sure how it works, but there's like people will stand guard outside, other inmates, whatever. And it's just this place that they've found. I don't think
a fuck closet, a dirty little fuck closet.
Yeah. And then there's like outside of the visiting like room, there's like a patio that people go out to smoke, but it's really to go out and fool around. So if you go out there, you don't go out there with your kids and like family. Like everyone knows that like if you go outside, that's where you're going. And then everyone's just like fucking and fooling around like in front of each other.
Oh, God. That's just
prison is, you know, it doesn't sound great.
No.
It doesn't get any worse than that. I always thought it might be okay, but it really the more I hear about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I would want to go.
No. You want to pop on down there?
Yeah.
To the old jailhouse?
Yeah.
God, it's miserable even thinking about it.
I know.
Just absolutely fucking miserable. Just grunting in front of fucking four other people as you're all trying to get off outside on a smoking patio. Or just jammed inside of a closet. Just give me fucking, just baby, let me fucking do this. Oh, God.
And these people that do it.
Again,
the women that do it and are not like, bye.
Yeah. We've talked about this on the show. Any more than 7 years, I kill myself.
Sure.
I don't even fucks with that.
Like, right.
I just don't.
How many days did I do? Two?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's too much.
Too much.
I would say after 3 days, I would.
Yeah. Kill yourself. You got to kill yourself. I want to talk about this new fucking car. Did you see this new GM car?
No.
No driver, no steering wheel, no nothing.
I would want to have a steering wheel. Same here. To kind of like, if something goes wrong, you got to go same in here. Manual mode.
Yeah. Oh.
Which I love manual mode is just driving normal.
Yeah. There is nothing.
I don't like that.
No steering wheel whatsoever, which is fucking crazy to me. Like, I would want to have something, I think. But this is the way everything is headed. So things are going to get real crazy here coming up. There's an auto show coming up. And, this Detroit auto show has been going on for years. And they, you know, it's always been like the best of the best and like the crazy new cars. And it's like the fact that, you know, you're about to be driverless here in probably the next 20 to 30 years is creepy. I mean, you're essentially just inside a box at that point. What's the use of getting a nice car or having a nice car, or will it just change that, you know, you're essentially buying a tiny house on wheels that's just going to get you from one place to the next?
What's the use of even buying a car? Because those are going to be, it's going to be the new Uber, right? And it just like picks you up. You put in your address, it drives by itself to get you.
Maybe.
Takes you.
Yeah.
Why would you even spend the money on a car?
Yeah. I guess so. It would be at your convenience, so you could leave whenever you wanted to. But, you know, that's, you're in a box at that point. A box on wheels, and then you're, you know, what, doing work or hanging out or chatting or whatever you're doing. That's crazy. Yeah. The other thing is, it's, you know, what's the point in buying a different car versus the other one? Like, if you're on the road, let's face it, you buy a car or a nice car to impress people or, you know, to show some certain type of status or something like that, or else everybody would be driving the same fucking car.
Right.
So if you don't have an Escalade, if you're having a driverless car, what's the point in having an Escalade? Why not just have a, you know, the basic?
They'll still be that.
You think so?
Oh, yes. They will always be that.
That I'm going to work in a nicer, you know, pod than you are?
Yeah, there will always be that.
You think so?
I don't think you could do, I mean, unless everyone was made the same, like in this futuristic thing where it's like every house is a white box and every car is a white, unless you'd go there, then there will always be the idea of like, I want to have something that someone else living envies.
Here's why I think maybe you have a chance to get rid of all that is the LA thing. When we were in LA all those years, when the Prius came out, initially the first 1 to 2 years, it was like a status thing of like, I've got the Prius. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to get. You can't get them anymore. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, everybody had a fucking Prius. So everywhere you went, there was like 50 Priuses in the parking lot.
Oh God.
And you look at it and you're like, oh, well, if everybody has the same car and it's for the same reason, because I don't know. I'm assuming people bought it because gas was so expensive in California that everybody switched to the Prius. Remember, gas prices were insane.
It was a way to show people that you are environmentally conscious.
Exactly.
And that it was also some kind of status thing. But you're right. It was like turning into like homogenized. Like
everybody had one.
Yeah, it was a little weird. They were all gray.
And it got to a point because I had a Tahoe at the time, which is a big ass Tahoe. And like, I'm no lie, like people would give me dirty looks and mm-hmm. like, I can't tell you how many people would come up to me in parking lots.
That.
Yeah. And they were like, why do you have that?
I remember that era in LA for sure. I remember that. Oh yeah. He drives like a big, like the Hummers were like
being
fucking like tires slashed and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
and they were like, why do you have that? And I was like, oh, I like trucks and I'm from the South. Like, yeah, this fucking car is awesome.
Cause it's the car that I have.
Yeah. And it was like, I'm a giant man. I don't want to sit in that fucking tiny Prius and, pretend like everything's going to be all right. Cause you put a guy like me, I've driven a Prius a few times. Mm-hmm. You put a guy like me driving, whoever's sitting in the back seat, good luck. You have 2 inches of.
I will say the first time that I drove it a really far distance, I was like, oh shit. Like, I get it. I filled up one time and it was like 40 bucks for like my entire trip.
My best friend used to have one. An ex used to have one. You fill up about once a month.
It's crazy.
In LA.
Yeah.
If you have a normal job and, you know,
yeah.
traveling to. And that is amazing. That is an amazing aspect of it. I have a really funny story for you, though. The first time I went to drive one, I was dating somebody who had the Prius.
You dated other people before me?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, just one or two. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, one or two.
This is uncomfortable.
And over. This is over now. It's our last show together. And it's all over.
Yeah.
But I went, she was gone working out or something, and I needed to take the car. And I went and I turned it on and it doesn't make a noise.
No, it's crazy.
I sat in the Prius for 20 minutes. Trying to figure out how to turn it on,
and
it was already on. A neighbor finally came down in the garage who had a Prius, and I saw them getting into their Prius, and I was like, hey, so I'm new to the whole Prius thing. Can you tell me how to turn this on? And she was like, she gets out, and she was like, oh yeah, of course. She was like, is the parking brake on or something? I was like, no, the parking brake's not on or whatever. And she was like, she's like, the car is on. And I was like,
"My God, you dummy!"
Oh, wait, the car is on now. She was like, "Yeah, it doesn't make any noise. It isn't. It's like noiseless." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Yep, boom.
Yeah,
20 minutes sitting in the front seat of a fucking Prius in my
own
garage.
That's embarrassing. Yeah,
embarrassing shit.
Super embarrassing.
But my point is this: everybody in LA had Priuses. I don't know why that wouldn't switch to everywhere else. If you just made a couple cool brands, all you need is a few variations, I think.
Now it's like the Tesla, though.
Yeah. And everybody's getting a Tesla. Everybody's going to have a Tesla. And that's that.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange happenings. So we'll see. Go and Google this new GM car with no driver, though. It is trippy. It's also the most basic vehicle you ever see. It is, you know what, truthfully, it looks like, just looking at it now, it looks like a Prius if they ripped out the steering wheel and radio and all that shit and rearview mirrors, because there's no mirrors on it either.
Mm.
You don't need mirrors.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Isn't that creepy?
Too weird.
Too weird.
It's too weird for me now.
Yeah.
Need a couple more Black Mirrors to like get on that level.
Because what's the stop people from tapping into the system and blast, you know, hacking into them and then just driving you off the road?
Why would they do that? What do they gain?
Well, you could kill a bunch of people. That would be the new form of terrorism, essentially. If you could hack in and just kill a bunch of Americans at random.
If they were smart enough to hack into things and do that, they would be doing it already.
They did. So in one of the first tests, they brought in a hacker and he drove this car off the road.
No, I'm saying if the terrorists that we're dealing with now that are like blowing themselves up and stuff.
Right.
If they were smart enough to be hacking into stuff, they'd do it already.
That's
not really their strength.
But it's not up yet. Like we're not living in that world yet. So like you know, you take, remember that James Franco movie? With Seth Rogen about
the interview.
Yes. Look, North Korea hacked into Sony. Got the movie.
Maybe North Korea could do it.
Took it, fucked
but
up their whole shit.
They could do a lot of other things too.
That's what I'm saying. But this on a global level, if everybody's driving the same vehicle, kind of using the same mainframe, all that shit, you could just hit a button and take, let's say it was GM and they were the dominant force in this driverless world. Hacking a GM system, take everybody off the fucking road. I mean, it would be absolute chaos. That's
really worst case scenario.
But I think about shit like this. Yeah. That's why I would want some form of steering wheel in there.
For sure I would. I would want some way to go manual.
Yeah.
I'd have to.
Yeah. So, creepy. Creepy world. That brings us to the revolutionary figure of the week. Shall we?
We shall.
Revolution of the Week. This is an obvious one. It's Martin Luther King.
Oh, wow.
It's not only his day, it's his week. Yep. Poonhound, that guy.
Boy.
Reading those reports from the JFK files.
He was a lot more to him.
Fuck.
He was the king. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But also one of the most inspirational people in American history. And it takes a fucking huge man to do what he did and accomplish what he did in America. And to this day, it's still unbelievably impressive, especially for me personally, in a time of, you know, Kaepernick being compared to Martin Luther King. Not a fucking prayer.
This guy put his
his literal life on the line.
And his livelihood on the line.
Every day.
For this.
For the cause and for years and years and years, went to prison, you name it.
Put it on the line, actually.
Actually did it. Yeah. So, you know, when I get it that, you know, kids, like young kids who are in school today, probably look at Kaepernick and they're like, oh my God, he's no. Mm-mm. Nobody did what they did for a culture other than Martin Luther King. I mean, there will probably and hopefully never be another one like him. And I say hopefully because hopefully the world and everything else will have changed and evolved that much that we don't need somebody to speak out and hold marches anymore. You never know. You never know. But man, to Martin Luther King, the revolution, forget the day. Jabes, let's see that face one more time. Oh boy, that is, that could be the, oh God, that could be the thumbnail. For the live video?
Yeah. Oh, please. You know, I do think my favorite women comedians are the ones that, like, are willing to look ugly.
Yeah, like, that's, like, definitely. I love Lucy.
Yeah. Like, you have to be able to pull a face like that.
I hear you.
I think. If you're trying to be pretty all the time, nah.
Nah.
Not gonna work.
Not gonna work. Gross. For Jesse Wiseman, aka the Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.